Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Glad you chose to be with us this morning. Good looking crowd. Before we get started into the lesson, I'm really looking forward to it. We always want to start with prayer. So does anyone have a spoken prayer request this time? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. Bless her Lord. Someone else? Yes, sir. Bless your heart, Dewey. Amen. Yeah. Right. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, let's remember that. Amen. Absolutely. Someone else? Someone else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good to hear. Just remember Sister Teresa Justice's mother and the family. She's down at the hospital and, you know, she's not doing real well. So let's remember that family. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes, she is. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Amen. Someone else? Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. Someone else?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Sure. Amen. Absolutely. Yeah, I pray for Wyatt. He leaves today, going back to Concord. It was a mixed up email. He could have left yesterday. They didn't get the email to him in time, so he didn't think he could go to today. So, but he's fine. I think he plans on being here for service, and he's going to leave after church, Lord willing. So remember him. As she said, it's not his first year, but it's parents. It's tough, you know, when your babies, any time your babies leave, you know what I'm talking about. Whether it's college or going out for a job or whatever, it's government prayer. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Someone else? Someone else with a spoken prayer request? All's hearts and minds clear? Brother Patrick got one? Bless your heart, brother. Amen. Would there be another? Yes. Absolutely. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That is wonderful news. That is wonderful news. Amen. Someone else? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Went on last year.
Amen.
And she was drawing with things that she
wasn't involved. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. As Vivian said, obviously the school kids are getting ready to start school this week. Remember them and the parents, as she said. It's a busy time of year when school starts back, and it's hard on parents too. You know, anybody that's had children go through school, multiple children, it's hard to be, it's impossible to be multiple places at the same time. You know what I mean? But pray for families and stuff that we can keep God in the center. You know what I mean? Because it's so easy this time of year, folks. Listen, I've been there, done that, had kids that age. You don't know if you're coming, going, up, down, left, sideways. You got no idea. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's just hard to keep it all together. So let's pray for the parents as well. Someone else? Okay, any unspoken prayer requests with the uplift of the hand just between you and the Lord? If you're able to stand to your feet, we'll take these to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for this service as well. Brother Joe, you care to lead us? Amen. I want to talk about something. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 3. But I want to talk about something this morning about recognizing the strategies of the devil. Something that I wasn't really prepared till late this week to really touch on. But in light of everything in the world, I think a lot of things we sometimes fail to realize that sometimes, Teresa, that things that go on in the world, we fail to realize how much influence Satan's got to bring about things, to influence people, if you will. And it's important as Christians that we should be able to recognize the devil's strategy. Now, that's going to take the Holy Spirit to do that, to recognize that. But we also can be a little bit wise to him, Z. In other words, the Bible tells us to be harmless as does, but wise as serpents. So, in other words, if you've been walking with the Lord any time at all, you should have an understanding of your own walk, meaning this. You know the things the adversary uses against you. Okay, plain and simple. If I know that there's a rock in my yard that I always stump my toe on, then you know what? I need to be aware of that rock every time I walk in that area. And if possible, I need to dig that thing up and get rid of it. Amen? I don't need to keep walking the same way and keep stumping my toe and then wondering why am I doing it. Amen? So, we are to be able to recognize the strategies of the adversary. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about, Lord willing, depends how much time we got, we're going to talk about a couple different scriptures. We're going to start in the garden with Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. Going to bring out some things I don't believe maybe some of you have even heard before. Because I was sharing this with Tara. I didn't share it with her this morning. She said, I didn't even know that. So, I said, been studying this week. So that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit. But if you have your Bibles in Genesis chapter 2, I'm sorry, I meant to tell you chapter 2. Where we'll start out. Genesis chapter 2 is where we'll start out. I'm going to read the scripture, and then we'll eventually get into chapter 3, but I want to read chapter 2 first to kind of set the stage, okay? We're trying to recognize, start at verse 8, we're trying to recognize the ploys and the strategies that the enemy uses against Adam and Eve here and how it applies to us today. And then we're going to eventually get on to, there's a scripture in the book of Acts where a woman with the spirit of divination kept following after Paul and stuff like that. We'll hopefully get onto that today. Trying to recognize how the devil, he's cunning, folks. He's cunning. He's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If you remember, Jesus warned Peter that Satan desires to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Peter. So guess what? If he desires to sift Satan as wheat, he desires to sift you as wheat as well, because you're a Christian. You have taken on the likeness of Jesus. So his desire is to do what he can, Brother Joe, to minimize your impact for Jesus. In other words, listen, if you are a Christian, quote unquote Christian, but you're not really being very effective, Satan will probably leave you alone for the most part. He'll come against you, don't get me wrong. You'll battle flesh and spirit things. But if you're not really growing and moving and going out and witnessing and praying and doing all these things and really getting in the Word, then I promise you, he ain't really worried about you too much. Okay, he wants to take you out. I'm not going to say that. But the more that we begin to try to wade out in the water a little bit deeper, the more we begin to press into spiritual things, I promise you this, he's going to rear his head. That's what he does, okay? So we want to begin to recognize the strategies of the enemy, amen? So in verse 8, chapter 2, it says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and of good knowledge of good and evil." Now let's skip to verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see that he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmate for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and said thereof, And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and the wife, and were not ashamed." Now let's keep in mind, as most of you folks know this, especially if you've been married and you went through any kind of marriage ceremony whatsoever, when it was said, when you're married, two become one flesh. Two become one flesh. So let's keep that in the back of our minds, okay? But in other words, and verse 15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Now, you ready for this? How many people look forward to getting to heaven? Okay, let me see. Nobody else? How many people look forward to getting to heaven? Amen? Okay, there we go. Man, if you ain't want to raise your hand on that, geez Louise, let's just cut this thing off right now and go to the house, okay? Look, I want to have a good service. If I can't get you to raise your hand because you want to go to heaven, we're already starting off on a bad note. Okay? Let's wake up a little bit here, okay? If your boss has asked you to do something that was a little lively early on, you'd have to get up and do it, wouldn't you? Okay? You wouldn't take second note. You wouldn't second guess it, Josh, if he told you, hey, go do this. Well, look, guess what? We're in the house of the Lord, amen? We ought not be sitting around with old sad song faces, okay? So let's get a little bit alive to us, okay? But in other words, we all want to go to heaven, amen? What's it going to be like when we get there? You think you're just going to sit around, campfire, sing Kumbaya? Okay? No. We'll have jobs to do. How do I know that? Look here what Adam was told to do when he got in the garden. Okay? God put him there to dress it and to keep it. Okay? That word dress, by the way, ready for this? Means to work it, to till it, to serve. So God put Adam, he planted a garden in Eden. Bible says that, okay? God, and I think it's fascinating how much care God took for Adam. Listen, he spoke everything into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light, amen? But he planted a garden in Eden, eastward in Eden. That means God himself done something other than just speak. He planted a garden, okay? Why? Because it was going to be the home of his grandest creation, Adam, who was made in his own image.
And by the way, Adam, you know why we call him Adam, by the way? You know his name wasn't Adam like your name's Teresa, right? You understand that? Adam is the Hebrew word for man. So in our English version, we just call him Adam. Adam, that is man in Hebrew, okay? So that's just a little thing you can just kind of remember there. It's no big deal that you call him Adam, okay? No big deal that you call him, but it's man and woman. Adam and Eve are man and woman, okay, is what they are, Adam, okay? But in other words, he's put there by God to dress it and to keep it. Now, you know what the word keep means? It means to put a hedge about, to guard it, and to protect it. So Adam was put there to till it, to keep a hedge around it, to guard it, and protect it. Now, are you ready for this? It's almost as if God is supreme and knows everything, isn't it? Now, everything's perfect, folks. Keep in mind, everything's perfect. There's no sin, right? But God puts Adam there to guard it, to protect it, and to keep it. It's almost as if he knew what Satan was going to do. Ain't that shocking that God would know that? Think about it. Everything's perfect. Why is he guarding and protecting anything? You shouldn't have to, right? But he knew. Okay, so Adam had a responsibility to keep the garden, to till it, to work it, Brother Joe, and to put a hedge of protection about it. Amen? So that's just what he's told to do. The Lord would do that. Why? Because he needed to. Amen? And it goes on, it says, "And Lord God commanded the man, saying, of the tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now I want you to remember that verse. Verse 17, because we're going to go back to it, okay? Jump ahead to chapter 3 now. Jump ahead to chapter 3. I had to share that with you to get to this point right here, okay? Can I get somebody to read for me? Anybody? Joe, you care to read for me, brother? Read chapter 3, 1 through 11, please. Yes.
"Now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Yea, as thou sayest, you cannot eat of every tree of the garden.' And the woman said to the serpent, 'You may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of men were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves open. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord, telling us the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said unto him, 'Where art thou?' And he said, 'I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Whose son did you, that thou was naked? That thou eat of the tree, wherein I commanded thee, that thou shouldest not eat?'"
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. Now, if you're a note taker, I urge you to take notes, or better yet, get the Mallory Church of God app, and that way you'll be able to go back, because we're going to bring some things out today that I don't think some of you probably never heard before, okay, to be honest with you, and hopefully spur some discussion, to be honest with you, too, as well. But it says, "Now the serpent," I'm going to use the ESV here, by the way. I don't do that all that often, but I want to do it to kind of put it down in more in layman's terms of the discussion that's happening between the man and the woman and the serpent, okay? And it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?'" First off, the first thing he does is he actually questions God. Did God say you couldn't eat? Okay, how many times has the adversary come against you, and the first thing he's going to begin to do is question you? Why does the adversary question Eve? Anybody? Why do you think he questioned? Why don't you think he made a statement? But he questions her, huh? Causes doubt. Perfect. Anybody else? Any other reason? Huh? Okay, there's a good one. Anybody else? Planting a seed. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And you know what he's also doing? He's gaining insight to what she knows. He's gonna be able to gain into her knowledge by her answer. Okay? So every one of those things are great examples of what she said, a seed and doubt and all those things like that. That's good. But what he's also doing as well is he's gaining insight to her knowledge. Okay? And it says in verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Okay? Does that sound, don't answer Jeff, does that sound normal? That sounds like a normal response that she would make, doesn't it? Doesn't seem like there's no harm in that. You ready for this? Other than it's not right, it's wrong. God never said that. Let me go back and read chapter 2, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. Didn't say nothing about touching it, Jeremiah. Just didn't. She added to it. Okay? She added to it. Okay? Does that mean she's bad? No. Because you ready for a good thing? Most of you probably don't know this. She wasn't there when God said it. She wasn't even made yet. We read the scripture, didn't we? God told Adam. And it was Adam's responsibility to tell Eve. And you ready for this? Eve added to it. Or maybe Adam added to it. There you go. She got something out of it, but what she responds with is, we can't eat of it or touch it. Okay? So that right there tells the adversary, you ready for this? This is good. This is really good. She had a general knowledge, but not an intimate understanding. She had a general knowledge, but not an intimate understanding. So in other words, Adam would have had to tell her the rules. Okay? Adam may have had an intimate understanding. So it was Adam's responsibility to pass that intimate understanding down to his wife. She only had a general knowledge. So why do I think the adversary come against her? Because if you've got a general knowledge and not an intimate understanding of God's word, you are fair game to the adversary. Think about that. There's a lot of people can quote Bible. There's a lot of people that'll try to quote Bible. They twist it and... There's worldly people that try to quote Bibles. There's flat out sinners that try to quote Bibles. There is leaders of the world that try to quote Bibles. You remember Trump when he in his first term? 2 Thessalonians? Said a 2 Thessalonians. Where's that at? It's in 2 Thessalonians. No, it's 2 Thessalonians. Whether you like him or not, folks, that tells me he don't have an intimate understanding of the Scripture. Sorry. Don't care if he's your favorite friend of the world. Understanding true Scripture matters. Okay? 2 Thessalonians. Well, you know what? That sounds like a start off of a joke. 2 Thessalonians went down the road. 2 Thessalonians tells me you read it. Okay? Just use that as an example. General knowledge is one thing. Intimate understanding is a total different thing. Okay? Brother Joe?
I just want to say that's why he didn't come against Adam.
There you go. There was a reason he chose Eve and didn't come against Adam. There was a reason he did that. Amen. Well said, Brother Joe. But in other words, if we are going to come against the adversary, if we're going to recognize the strategies of the adversary, it's not just good enough to have a general knowledge. We need to have an intimate understanding. We need to know who God is. We need to be able to read His Word, and we study to show ourselves approved. All those things we do, and we spend time with Jesus. That's how you have an intimate understanding. In other words, if I spend time with somebody and he tells me something, I'm never going to forget it. Jennifer could tell me something. She could tell me something good. I just shared something with you guys that the Holy Spirit shared with me. You may remember that. You may not remember it in a week, but I'm going to remember because God told me. It's that simple. If you have an intimate understanding, you are far more equipped to recognize the strategies of the adversary. And that's what we're talking about today. When people say things like, I can't believe that that happened. Christians, I can't believe that that happened. Hey, I understand it took you by surprise, but I don't know why you can't believe it. Because the adversary wants to take you out. And if he can, he'll do those things, okay? But the adversary testing her, planting seeds, doubt, all those things. Now he has a way into her thought process. Okay? Now she has a knowledge, but that ain't exactly what God told her. So now if you're the adversary who is crafty and subtle, remember he's more subtle, he's more crafty than all the beasts of the field. You don't think Satan picks up on your reaction to things? Listen, you ready for this? Satan is not omnipresent, folks. Only God is omnipresent. Meaning Satan is not everywhere at every time. Satan is only one place at one time at any given time. You understand it? Now I know there's other demons and things of that nature, but Satan can only be one place at one time. Well, is there scripture to back that up? Absolutely is. When Jesus resisted an adversary after being tempted in the wilderness, the Bible says what? He fled from him. He left him for a season. Well, if Satan was everywhere, Vicky, he wouldn't leave him. He'd be there too. He'd go somewhere else, he'd be there too. But we find through scripture that Satan can only be one place at one time. But here's what he does, him and his demons. They remember how you react to stuff. So if you fail, if you come short of the glory of God, if your temper got the best of you in this situation, they're going to do their best to recreate that scene every single time they can to get you to overreact. If you fail in lust, adultery, whatever it is, he's going to do everything he can to propose that same position to you so that you'll do it again. He has a good memory, folks. He's been here longer than you have, been here longer than I have. Okay? So he's crafty. He's subtler than any beast of the field. That's what the Bible says. Are you ready for this? He now knows she has some general knowledge, but she don't have the intimate understanding. He chose right. He didn't go to Adam because Adam received the direct word. Adam had the intimate understanding. Big difference there. And it says, but the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Now, first of all, he asks a question. He opens a little bit of doubt. Okay, gets an idea of her knowledge. Okay, a little bit of idea of the relationship she has with Yahweh, with Jehovah. Now he just says a flat out lie. You'll not die. You'll not die. Actually, he's just flat out lying now. You'll not die. And what is all that for? Because if you don't have an intimate understanding, if you haven't spent time with somebody like you should have spent time with them, then guess what? I might be able to manipulate you a little bit. Satan ever tried to manipulate you? Let me say it this way. Has anybody else tried to manipulate you? Then Satan has tried to manipulate you. God don't manipulate. Manipulation is a thing of the flesh. Amen? Bible says witchcraft. That's what it says. Manipulation is like witchcraft. I don't know if you know that, but it is. Manipulation is like witchcraft. And it goes on. Man, I'm liking this. I hope you guys ain't liking this as much as I am. But anyway, it says, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Now, you ready for this? He's done flat out lied. Now, he's taken the word of God and he's adding to it. If you don't have an intimate understanding of Scripture and you just have a general knowledge like the world does, I can say to you, Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. And you'll go, amen. And that ain't even in the Bible. It ain't. If you have a general knowledge, you are not equipped to fight the adversary. You need an intimate understanding of Scripture. That means you spend time in the Word. You read the Word. You study the Word. You pray over the Word. You do those things. Because if we're going to recognize what the adversary is trying to do in our lives, just like Jesus did when he tempted him in the wilderness, when he would say something, Jesus came straight back with it and corrected him with the Word. Okay? So Eve is not equipped at this time to do this. Now, ready for this? Is that some of her fault? Yeah. But not entirely, and we're going to get to that. And it goes on and says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, Where'd that even come from? That came from just what Satan just said. God didn't say anything about wisdom regarding that tree. He said, don't eat it. But now she says, okay, it makes you wise. So now she's believing the scripture and the devil. Boy, does that not sound like the world today? Guess what, folks? They don't cohabitate. You understand that? The word of God can't be true and a lie be true. One of them's got to be truth and one of them's a lie. And if it stacks up against the word of God, can I tell you which one's true? The word of God. It is true. Okay? But now the adversary has added to it. He's created that doubt. She don't know whether she's coming and going. And now she believes, well, what he just said, it's going to make you wise. You'll be like gods. Well, she's believing what the devil told her. Right? Every time we fall and come short of the glory, do we not do the same thing? Do you not? Bible says the wage of sin is death. If we truly believe that, we would flee from sin. If the world believed that, they would repent. You can say you believe it, but how do you live it? That's a different ballgame altogether, Brother Joe. There you go. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Giving place to the devil. As Brother Joe said, the Bible says not to give place to him. In other words, don't engage in the conversation. Okay? You know, there's an old saying said, what have you done if you bested a fool? Think about it. What have you done? What have you accomplished if you bested a fool? Okay? By the word of God, we know the end of Satan. By the word of God, we know who he is. Why engage in a conversation with him? What do you hope to win out of it? Okay? But it goes on, it says, it will make us wise. Wow, think about that. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Now, notice that she ate, but her eyes wasn't opened. She ate, gave it to Adam, who ate, then both their eyes were open. Why was that? What's that? God told Adam, not Eve. What else? Anybody? What? He was a spiritual priest. Husband and they were one. Husband and wife one. That's all good. And also, ready for this? Who was the one named the animals? Adam had dominion. You ever wondered why her punishment, one of her punishments, was that Adam would be over her? Because she took that authority away when she done what she done. Ooh, sorry, women. I'm not a big ERA guy. Sorry, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That was one of her punishments, was that Adam would be the head over her. Just the way it is, guys. Why? Because she usurped his authority. But in other words, both their eyes are open at the exact same moment once he eats. So ready for this? Instead of blaming Eve, guys, here's where the real fault lies. God told Adam, whose responsibility was to share everything with the woman. Everything with the woman. If the adversary comes against the one that is your spouse. In other words, if the adversary comes against Z, then it's attack against Tommy because them two are now one. If it comes against Tara, it's attack against me. If it comes against Sam, it's attack against her. Teresa, Dave, Lisa, Tim, that's the way it is. So ready for this? You should never leave your spouse on an island to fight the devil alone. Ever. If they're having a situation, then that situation is your situation and you need to pray about it. You need to join forces with them. An intimate understanding far surpasses a general knowledge. Now, why is it Adam's fault? Ready for this? Because he was supposed to have been walking and guarding the garden all alone. Remember the scripture we talked about? If he'd have been doing what he was supposed to do, Joe, he'd have recognized it. And the devil wouldn't have got in the household. Think about that. You and I have a responsibility spiritually, I feel this, to walk the fence line of our homes. We have a responsibility spiritually to pay attention when something comes against our family. We have a responsibility, Tommy, to pray the hedge. Don't ask nobody else to pray the hedge. You pray the hedge, Brother Joe.
At that moment, they were both changed.
They were changed.
They were both changed.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes. 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 Amen. Once sin comes into play, for you folks that couldn't hear Brother Joe, once they both, they were changed. So when sin comes in the house, what's it do? It changes the home. It totally, sin will absolute can't, sin is a cancer that invades homes to destroy it. Plain and simple. That's just plain and simple. Now listen, I understand there are certain people, you may have one serving the Lord and one not serving the Lord, okay? God is still able to win the husband through the wife. It's important that I put that in there, okay? It's important that you understand that. If you're the only one that's carrying the banner right now, God honors that. You pray those prayers. You put up that hedge of protection, okay? Holy Spirit knows those things. But before we go trouncing Eve, let's put it where it really belongs, on Adam and his responsibility to not recognize the strategies of the devil because he wasn't doing his job. Oh my gosh. If we don't understand the strategies of the devil, it's because we wasn't doing our job. Oh, that's hard to hear, ain't it? Because you know what the Bible says? There are spiritual gifts that will reveal what the adversary is doing. If we'll spend time in prayer, God can reveal those things to us. Now listen, it may not stop a bad thing from happening. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. But I can tell you this, that it can make a way when a little old red Toyota hits another vehicle and totally decimates that car, and he should be in real bad shape and he sleeps in his bed that night. I call that a hedge of protection around that person. That's what I see. We are to be proactive, not reactive, in our walk with God. God wants us to spend time with him every single day because he knows what the adversary is going to try to do to you or to your family or whoever else. And if you'll spend time with him, he'll unction you to pray for them. He's done it for me many times. But to have an intimate understanding far, far, far exceeds a general knowledge, folks. Listen, turn to Acts, because I've got to get there. I've got to get there. I know I'm not going to get to my final one. We'll probably do a part two next week. But I want you to understand this. Understanding the strategies of the devil. Acts chapter 16. This is a scripture, to be honest with you. You've probably read it before and never really thought about it in this way, so to speak, and kind of always wondered about it a little bit. But how many people here remember the story of Paul and Silas in the jail? We all love that. We all sing about that, don't we? Okay? That's a good thing. We all love praise him in the storm. Paul and Silas was thrown in the jail, and they praised him, and God shook the jail, and it was people got saved and everything like that. We all know that story, don't we? We sing about that story. We celebrate that story. But ready for this? Why were they there? Do you know that? Why were they even there? Because that's what we're going to talk about today. Why was Paul and Silas put into jail? Why? Because of this. The strategies of the devil. And the good thing about it is, Paul and Silas, is this. They were doing God's work. And even though the Satan interrupted it and kept them from going a little bit forward what they were doing and throwed them in jail, God was still able to deliver them in jail. So ready for this? If we're doing God's will, if we're walking in God's will and the adversary comes against us and thwarts it, ready for this? God can still deliver you from that because he done it with Paul and Silas. But in chapter 16, verse 16, it says this, "And it came to pass, as we went together to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of the selfsame hour." So in other words, there's a woman that has a spirit of divination. And Paul and Silas, it says us, by the way, they were going to prayer, us. Remember that? So that means there's at least three there. There's got to be Paul. We know there's got to be Silas. And Luke has to be there because he's writing it. Okay, and he was Paul's companion. So at least I know there's three. All three of them, men of God. Amen? Can we say that? But only Paul speaks up. All three of them, men of God. Only Paul speaks up. Okay? She has a spirit of divination. And she's not saying nothing bad. She's not saying anything to detract from what they're doing. She's heaping praise on them. These are the men of God. Listen to what they got to say. They show us the way of truth. Can you imagine that? So to most people, man, what's she doing wrong? But the Bible says she had a spirit of divination about her. You ready for this? An evil spirit can't be good. You ready for this? Don't invite an evil spirit into your house thinking it's going to do anything good for you. Ooh. Can't serve God and mammon. Don't invite an evil spirit in, then wonder why your home is going to hell in a handbasket. Don't open up the door to your home and then wonder what went wrong. She's heaping praise upon these men. Okay? Then Paul, being grieved in his spirit. So can I tell you, in hillbilly terms, Paul, who's walking in the anointing, receives a revelation from the Holy Spirit, which is a spiritual gift of discerning of spirits. Paul turns to her and casts it out. Now, you ready for this? Why did Paul and Silas get thrown in jail? Because her masters, who made a lot of money off of it, now lost their ability to make money, so they stirred up the people and they slung them into jail. That's why they were there. But why did the adversary throw them in jail and God have to deliver them at midnight? Because Paul was engaged in spiritual warfare. You ready for this? If you engage in spiritual warfare, the adversary takes notice of that. I want you to know that, folks. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Wake up. This is 2025. We live in the United States of America, and it still is going on today. Wake up, Christians. You deal with spiritual warfare every single day. And if we're going to recognize the strategies of the devil, then we've got to rely on the Holy Spirit of God to do so. Three godly men, and none of them speak up until Paul does. I have no reason to believe that Silas was doing anything wrong or Luke was doing anything wrong, but when the Holy Spirit came upon Paul, he moved, and he cast her out. Now, why would this demon, this evil spirit that was heaping, why would he heap praise? Why would this spirit heap praise upon Paul? One, I think he's trying to stay hidden. If you want to know the truth, evil spirits try to stay hidden because only those that have the true God, that operate in the Spirit of Jesus, have the authority to cast it out. So he's trying to stay hidden, first of all. Ready for this? A true born-again Christian cannot be possessed by the devil. You can be oppressed by the devil, but every born-again Christian has the power and authority, if they're spending time with Jesus, to cast out any devil on this planet. You understand that? Some cometh out by prayer and fasting. I understand that. Okay? But be led by the Spirit in all things. But, so it's trying to stay hidden. What else would they do that for? Have you ever thought about this? Manipulation. God don't need praise from the devil. Well, and there's a good point, Teresa. What does the demon say? He's not pointing people to God. He's pointing people to them. Think about that. He's not pointing people to God. He's pointing it to Paul and to Silas and to Luke. Why? He could, by chance, take hold of vanity and let them be puffed up. Let's see how they react. Okay? But they don't fall for it. That's a good thing. That's a good point, Teresa. But also manipulation, because one of these days, these old boys are going to leave. And if I can stay hidden long enough until they're out of here, I can slowly move into those people that were converted and manipulate them. It's the long game. Okay? It's a war. It's not a short battle. It's a war. And that spirit knew that. So it was doing what it could to stay where it was. You understand something? There's evil spirits that are working everywhere, in homes, in schools, in workplaces, and it'll do what it can to stay where it's at. It wants to stay on assignment that the adversary has given it. Okay? But if we are walking in the Spirit, ready for this? If we are doing what we're supposed to do in the Lord, we can recognize the strategies of the adversary because the Holy Spirit will make us aware. We can begin to pray that hedge protection. And you know what? Ready for this? If the Holy Spirit tells you to and it grieves you, you cast it out. Do you understand that it's real, Brother Joe? Only do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The sons of Siva. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Amen. They're only subject to the name of Jesus. Plain and simple. So having a general knowledge of Scripture is not like having an intimate understanding with Jesus. Eve fell because of a general knowledge, not an intimate understanding. Paul had an intimate understanding, and he cast them out. We got to recognize the strategies of the devil, folks. And the only way we do that is by spending time with Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. This is real. I want you to understand that. This is real. This is not fake. This is not a Pentecostal thing. This is a Bible thing. This is a spiritual thing. This is real. The adversary desires to sift you as wheat. He desires to destroy your witness. He wants to destroy your family. And the only way we can do that is do what Adam did not do and patrol and put up the hedge. Don't ever quit doing that. You continually do that. You pray that hedge protection around that family. And even though they're not in your home, Brother Jeremiah, the God can still touch them and protect them wherever they're at. That's the thing about understanding who you're fighting with means understanding who can beat him. Amen? Anytime when I was growing up, if somebody was tougher than me, I'd go find my bigger cousin who was tougher than they was. Understand that, you know what, the devil's bigger than you are, but he ain't bigger than Jesus is. Amen? Next week, we're going to talk about Simon the sorcerer, who tried to buy the Holy Spirit, okay? And we're going to bring out some things I don't believe you've ever heard of before, okay? God bless you.